Welcome to installment 60 of Sefer HaMitzvahs from the Rambam. Today's portion contains two commandments. Once again, we will discuss positive commandment 171, the giving of a machatzitza shekel, the half shekel. And also, we will begin our discussion of positive commandment 153, the commandment of Kiddush HaChodesh, the sanctification and declaration of the new moon, as well as the addition of a year, the leap year.
We'll briefly review some of yesterday's mitzvah and then go on to today's mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh. As we mentioned yesterday, the verse that Rambam derives, the mitzvah of Machatzitza Shekel, is from the book of Exodus, chapter 30, verse 12, that everyone should give Kefer Nafshe LaHashem, an atonement offering for his life. This we learn is the Machatzitza Shekel, the half a coin which was donated by everyone every year to be given for the communal sacrifices in the temple in Jerusalem. They would go and take this money and get and pay for the daily tamid sacrifice, the musaf offerings, the additional offerings, the wine offerings, the salt which was used for the sacrifice, go and join it, the wood, and so on and so forth. This would go and accomplish an atonement, as the person includes himself in the congregation to go and join in these communal sacrifices. The Rambam mentions in Sefer HaMitzvahs that women are exempt from giving this half shekel. Why are they exempt? The Rambam quotes the pasuk Kola Eiver al Hapkudim, or everyone that goes to be counted. But literally, Eiver al Hapkudim means everyone that goes over to be counted. The Talmud Yerushalmi brings two explanations of why this expression is used. One could go and include Kola Eiver, everyone that went over the Red Sea. Everyone that passed through the Red Sea is included in the mitzvah, in the commandment of giving the half shekel. Another explanation is Kola Eiver, everyone that goes over to be counted as part of the Jewish army. Everyone that is drafted into the army is also required to go and give the half shekel. According to the first explanation, that everyone that goes over includes everyone that passed over the Yamsuf, passed through the sea, women are clearly required to give the half shekel since they were also included in the miracle of going through the Red Sea. However, according to the second explanation, that Kol HaEver, everyone that goes over into war to be drafted, also must go and give an atonement offering, the half shekel, women are exempt. And the Rambam decides in his legal work, Yad HaChazaka, the women are exempt from going and giving the half shekel. However, if they wish to give, it can certainly be included in everyone else's offering. The beginning of the half shekel was announced on the first day of Adar. On the Hebrew month of Adar, they would announce that everyone must go and give the half shekel. From this derives our custom today of reading Parashat Shkolim, that before Rosh Chodesh Adar, the first day of the month of Adar, we read in that Shabbos in the synagogue from Maftir, the special portion dealing with the giving of the half shekel. Therefore, at the times of the temple, when this was actually in effect, we would go and make the announcement on the first of Adar. Starting the 15th of Adar, the day after Purim, tables would be set up in the Beis HaMikdash and would be set up all over the city, in different cities, in different places, to go and have boxes that people could go and fulfill what they didn't go and give last year. If somebody forgot to give last year, they could put in one of the two boxes. And there would be another box to go and have the beginning of this year's fresh offerings, because on the first day of Nisan, the next month, we would go and bring from the new bunch of shkolim. If it would be the 25th of the month and certain people would not give, the Jewish court would actually force them. They could be machriya and force the person to go and give their half shekel. A primary lesson we learned from the mitzvah of Machatzitza Shekel, we mentioned in the last portion, in the last shir of Sefer HaMitzvahs, that regardless of a person's background, regardless of their wealth and how much they wanted to give, we would not accept more than a half shekel. So to somebody that might be poor and could barely afford the half shekel, we would not take less than a half shekel. The reason for this is we are stressing through the commandment of Machatzitza Shekel that when it comes time for an atonement offering, we must realize that every single Jew is exactly the same, regardless of the level of their intelligence and how famous they are and how personable they are and other individual factors. The fact that what we're looking at over here is the essence of every Jew, his internal being. And internally, every single Jew is exactly the same. We all have that spark of godliness. We all have that essence, that pintali yid, which goes and unites all of us exactly the same. Therefore, when it comes to the mitzvah, Machatzitza Shekel, we go and express this by making sure that everyone's offering is exactly the same and that there are no differences from one Jew to another. This will explain, incidentally, another saying, as it's brought in Chassidus, that at the beginning of Parshas Ki Tisa, which at this portion, we have the mitzvah, Machatzitza Shekel, a very curious expression is used. The Chumash says, Kisises Reish B'nei Yisrael Lifkudeihem, which would normally be translated when you go and count up the Jewish people. However, literally, Kisisa es Rosh means when you go and lift up, Kisisa, when you lift up es Rosh, the head of the Jewish people. So in context, we translate this as meaning counting the Jewish people. But why does it use such an expression as lifting up the head of the Jewish people? Chassidic philosophy explains that through going and reaching down into the fundamental essence of every single Jew, through going reaching that pintel yid, through going reaching that part which unites all of us, the deepest essence of a Jew, we go and can affect every single part of the Jewish people. And we can go and raise ourselves up and elevate us. That when we go and dig down to our essence and reveal this essence and bring it out into the open and show the unity and show the essence and holiness of every single Jew, you can even take the rush, even the heads of the Jewish people, even the highest parts of the Jewish people, are kisisa, they get lifted up, and everyone gets an elevation. From the lowest person to the highest person, and from the lowest part of the individual soul to the highest part of the individual soul, from the emotions to the intellect, everything is raised up. And how? Through going and counting the Machzis HaShekel and revealing the essence of every single Jew. The second mitzvah of today's portion is positive commandment under 153, the commandment of Kiddush HaChedesh, which is to go and sanctify and calculate the Jewish months and years. This Rambam derives from the verse in Exodus chapter 12, verse 2, HaChedesh HaZeh Lachem, that Moses was commanded by God that this month, the month of Nisan, should be the head month for the entire year. And as Rashi says in the beginning of the Chumash, that this was the first commandment that was ever given to the Jewish people, HaChedesh HaZeh Lachem, as Rashi in fact indicates that perhaps the Torah should have started at this point, since this is the first mitzvah. Why do we need a special calendar? The reason is because our months are determined by the lunar calendar, that Chodesh HaShana, we have months of the year. And the HaChedesh HaZeh Lachem, as our sages say, that Hashem, that God showed Moses in a prophetic vision, an actual moon, that he should go and look at this. And God said, this month, this should be the head of months, that when you see a moon in such a circumstance, you can go and declare that this is now the new moon, this is now the first day of the coming month. Since our months are lunar months, it is never certain exactly when the first day of the month would be. Since the lunar month is a little bit longer than 29 days, 29 and a half, as the Rambam gives exactly the calculation, as it turns out, since the first part of the day begins at dark, therefore the month, as we count it from the beginning of the day, could end up having 29 days or 30 days. In other words, we might go and see the moon on the 30th day of the previous month, which would mean the month is only 29 days, and the 30th day is the first day of the next month. Or perhaps we'll only see the moon a day later, on the 31st day of the month, which would mean that the previous month is a mole, is a full month, a month of 30 days, and only the 31st becomes the first day of the coming month. Therefore, we must determine whether the moon has yet appeared or not. How do we do this? The Rambam describes that there are two ways. That there was originally Kiddush al-Pi Hariyah, that through testimony, through witnesses coming to the Jewish court, as the Rambam describes in length and as we will discuss in the coming days, who is properly qualified and in the land of Israel and have a proper ordination, they could determine that the witnesses have given proper testimony and they can go and declare, therefore, that this is the beginning of a new month. Another means of calculating the month is by astronomical calculation, as the Rambam gives a very lengthy treatise, a lengthy scientific explanation of astronomical facts and how exactly we can use our observance of the position of the stars and the moon and the sun to go and determine whether the moon can indeed be apparent now or not. At the times of the Kiddush al-Pi Hariyah, when we would go and take the testimony of witnesses, they wouldn't rely exclusively on the calculation. However, they would rely on the calculation enough to determine whether certainly these witnesses were lying. For example, if we know that it is impossible that in this month the moon could appear on the 30th day, we know that this month it must appear on the 31st day. If witnesses would come and say that they saw the moon on the 30th day, we would know that they're trying to mislead the Beis Din, they're trying to mislead the court, as was done many times throughout Jewish history, that enemies of the Jewish people tried to go and intentionally sabotage our observance of the holidays. That since most, if not, except for Shavuos, that our holidays go after the lunar calendar, then the determination of the month determines whether we're observing, for example, Yom Kippur on the proper day or on the wrong day. And therefore, the Jewish court must go and take testimony. However, we still would rely on the calculations, the astronomical calculations, to determine whether it's possible or not that the witnesses could have indeed seen the moon from the place where they claim to have seen it. Now that we have no longer a proper qualified Jewish court to accept such testimony, our calendar is determined only by means of calculation, as we will be discussing in the coming days. An additional obligation upon the Jewish court was to go and to determine the years, that since the lunar year has 354 days approximately, and the solar year has 365 days approximately, therefore there's a difference of approximately 11 days between the years. So therefore, if we take Passover as an example, since Passover is determined according to the lunar month, therefore, if we would go and wait until the next year, Passover would fall out approximately 11 days too early, at least in terms of the solar calendar. If we would wait until the coming year, then it would be another 11 days early. And eventually, going on such a system, Passover would fall out in the middle of the winter. Since we learn in the Chumash that the Passover must fall out in the spring season, we must go and make a leap year occasionally in order to go and correct this difference between the lunar year, the year of the moon, and the solar year, the year as determined by the sun. This is learned out, as it says in the Chumash, Chod Sheshana. We can not only add on a few days to make it a leap year, as they do in the solar calendar, but we must add on a complete month. It says, L'Chod Sheshana, that the year is composed of months, and we cannot go and compose a year of 12 months and a few days. Therefore, we must add a complete month. This month is added on before the month of Nisan. In other words, the last month of the year, the month of Adar, is sometimes added on, and we make a second month of Adar. Therefore, in a Jewish leap year, we will have Adar Rishon, the first month of Adar, and Adar Sheni, the second month of Adar. This would be determined by the Jewish court upon looking on when the month, the holiday of Passover, would go and fall out. They look at the 16th of the month of Nisan, the day after Passover, and determine, is it after Tekufas Nisan? Is it after the beginning of the spring season? Or is it before? If Passover is falling out too early in the year, they would go and declare a leap year. They would declare a Shnat HaIbur. They would go and make a second month of Adar, and thereby go and ensure that the holidays would fall out in the correct season, Passover in the spring, and Sukkot in the fall. There are many other laws of Kiddush HaChodesh that we will be discussing in the following days, so please tune on with us tomorrow. Thank you for calling Sefer HaMitzvos from the Rambam.